Senate will please come to order. Would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Roll call for Monday, February 25th. Anderson?
Here.
Allman?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
DeCaria?
Here.
Fecht?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hines?
Here.
Jennings?
Here.
Job?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Larson?
Here.
Massey?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Mockler?
Here.
Nicholas?
Here.
Perkins?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Ross?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Sessions?
Here.
Townsend?
Here.
Basie?
Here.
Von Flatern?
Here.
President Schiffer?
Here.
30 present.
Please join us in prayer with Reverend Robinson.
That places us above another of our sisters or brothers, but the kind of holy that places us beside another. Put us next to our sisters who are hurting and have no relief in sight, so that we may be your healing touch and your loving arms. Put us next to our brothers who have burned all the pathways to hope, so that we may tell them of the God who makes doorways in brick walls. Put us next to the children who are frightened and have no place to play, so that we may be as concerned for them as we are for children of our own blood. Put us next to our elders who are alone and isolated, so that we may be blessed by their stories of wisdom. Good and holy God, take our today and make it a day where we are ever mindful of your presence in the faces of strangers, whether they be next door or across the globe. And take our tomorrows and make them be days where we see clearly the future that you hold out to us. Make them be days where we act definitively in love and compassion and justice and peace. Make them be days where our love for you and your love for us flows so freely between us that we are no longer anything but vessels of light and hope for the entire world to see. We pray these things in the name of your child, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Great. Reading, correction, and approval of the journal. Would the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 22nd, 2008, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Perkins, chairman.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, the journal report is adopted. Members of the Senate, our doctor for the day is Dr. Doug Schmitz. Welcome, doctor, and thank you for coming. Appreciate it. We had two nurses scheduled to come over from the State Hospital in Evanston. Strangely enough, IED is closed, so they may be a little bit late getting here, if at all, but we hope they have a safe trip. In any case, thought for the day, the road uphill and the road downhill are one and the same. Members of the Senate, I'd like you to join me in making welcome. We have two new student pages for the next 2 weeks. They are Katie Calvetti over here on my right from here in Laramie County and Rietta Little over on the left from Johnson County. Please make them welcome and work them very hard. In addition, members of the Senate, one of the things we do well is vote. And if you get a chance sometime this week, I urge you to go over to the Arts Council building right across the street from the front of the Capitol and vote on the Wyoming Easter egg, whichever egg we select goes back to the national competition for the national Easter egg. Being as I get lots of guidance in this area, I've been over to see them. They are worth going to see, and you get to vote at no extra cost. You can actually vote several times, which for some of you will be customary, I realize. But I urge you to go vote for the Wyoming Easter egg. I have done my duty now. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 90, the Judiciary Committee bill on carbon capture and sequestration, which was read in referred back to the Senate on Friday, has an appropriation. It was requested that it be re-referred to committee number 2.
Hearing no objection, House Bill 90 is re-referred to committee number 2, appropriations. Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have the privilege of the floor, please?
Floor is yours, sir.
Up there behind the President, we have a group called Leadership Jackson Hole. They go through a program that has some similarities to Leadership Wyoming, but is part of. Mary Martin is their director and in charge, and we've arranged for them to do several things. They've visited a coal mine on the way down yesterday to see who pays the taxes, and on the way back, tomorrow they're going to visit a prison in Rawlins to see how we spend the money for the taxes. So I would urge you do a roll call as you go in to make sure everybody gets out. And they're down here to watch how we conduct our business. Enjoyed visiting with them this morning, and please welcome them to the Senate.
Welcome, Leadership Jackson Hole, and enjoy your stay here in the Capitol building. Messages from the House.
February the 22nd, 2008, from the House of Representatives, message number 152, Committee of the Whole, indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Joint Resolution number 3, Residential Property Uniformity of Assessment, ayes 11, noes 43, excused 6. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. February the 22nd, 2008, from the House of Representatives, message 153, Committee of the Whole, indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted Committee of the Whole report failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 105, Encampment Area Watersheds Study, ayes 20, noes 32, excused 7, absent 1. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
House bills on first reading. Would the reading clerk please read in the bill?
House Bill 1, General Government Appropriations, sponsored by the Joint Appropriations Committee.
Pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1, subparagraph E1, House Bill number 1 is referred to Committee number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 92, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 92, Property Tax Refund Program, sponsored by the Revenue Committee, an act relating to taxation and revenue. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, excused 2.
House Bill 92 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 74, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 74, Veterinarian Loan Repayment Program, sponsored by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to veterinarians. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 57, noes 1, excused 2.
House Bill 74 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 73, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 73, DUI Penalties, sponsored by Representative Mercer, an act relating to driving while under the influence. Passed the House on third reading in an amended form, ayes 58, excused 2.
House Bill 73 is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Senators, and I've said it before, there are what might be construed for those with a great imagination, some rather unusual assignments. I assure you it is to try and balance the workload. We've got a number of bills coming over. If we're going to get them worked, I'm going to have to send some bills to perhaps some unusual places. One of the suggestions I would make for you, particularly committee chairman, if you see something weird coming your way, it is always in order to ask if LSO can spare staff to come sit in on those committee meetings. You know, we've got resources, but we've got to keep working those bills or they're... we just won't get our workload done. So I encourage you to take advantage of whatever resources there are and enjoy the new fields of endeavor that you're going to see here in the next couple days. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, the consent list today is Senate File 12, Dispensing Room Products Sold. Senate File 13, Mental Health Professional Practice Act Amendment. Senate File 18, Business Entities Revisions. Senate File 19, Clandestine Drug Laboratory Remediation Substitute Number 1. Senate File 24, Health Insurance Clinical Trials. Senate File 27, County Nuisance Abatement Authorities. Senate File 28, Investment of State Funds Revisions. Senate File 29, Public Library Endowment Challenge Program. Senate File 31, Domestic Violent Counseling Period. Senate File 36, Public Health Emergencies Volunteers. Senate File 38, People First Language. Senate File 40, Uniform Trust Code Amendments. Senate File 41, Vacating Subdivision. Senate File 42, Wyoming Court Security Act. Senate File 54, School Finance Rebate Recapture. Senate File 56, Omnibus Water Bill Construction. Senate File 58, State Land Trust Management Account. Senate File 62, Emergency Medical Technicians. Senate File 65, Post-Conviction Relief Petition, DNA Evidence. Senate File 66, Community Juvenile Services. Senate File 71, Hathaway Scholarship Program Success Curriculum. Senate File 76, Private Roads. Senate File 77, Seventh Tax Distribution. Senate File 81, Fire Protection District New Entities. Senate File 83, Retirement, Rehire Retirees. Senate File 84, Fireman Pension Account Amendments, Senate File 85, Health Care Reform Pilot Projects, Senate File 87, Capitol Building Restoration, Senate File 88, Inmate Medical Furlough.
Senate File 12, Dispensing Rooms, Products Sold. Senate File 13, Mental Health Professions Practice Act Amendments. Senate File 18, Business Entities Revisions. Senate File 19, Clandestine Drug Laboratories Remediation Substitute Number 1. Senate File 54, Health Insurance Clinical Trials.
24.
I'll read that one again. Senate File 24, Health Insurance Clinical Trials. Senate File 27, County Nuisance Abatement Authority. Senate File 28, Investment of State Funds Revisions. Senate File 29, Public Library Endowment Challenge Program. Senate File 31, Domestic Violence Counseling Period. Senate File 36, Public Health Emergencies Volunteers. Senate File 38, People First Language. Senate File 40, Uniform Trust Code Amendments. Senate File 41, Vacating Subdivisions. Senate File 42, Wyoming Court Security Act. Senate File 54, School Finance Rebated Recapture. Senate File 56, Omnibus Water Bill Construction. Senate File 58, State Trust Land Management Account. Senate File 62, Emergency Medical Technicians. Senate File 65, Post-Conviction Relief Petitions, DNA Evidence. Senate File 66, Community Juvenile Services. Senate File 71, Hathaway Scholarship Program Success Curriculum. Senate File 76, Private Roads. Senate File 77, Severance Tax Distribution. Senate File 81, Fire Protection Districts, New Entities. Senate File 83, Retirement, Rehired Retirees. Senate File 84, Firemen's Pension Account Amendments. Senate File 85, Health Care Reform Pilot Project. Senate File 87, Capitol Building Restoration. And Senate File 88, Inmate Medical Furlough, are all on the consent list. Would any senator like any bill removed from the consent list? Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to have Senate File 77, Severance Tax Distribution, removed from the consent list.
Senate, hearing no objection, Senate File 77, Severance Tax Distribution, is removed from the consent list. Would any senator like any other bills removed from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 12, Dispensing Rooms, Products Sold. Senate File 13, Mental Health Professions Practice Act Amendments. Senate File 18, Business Entities Revisions. Senate File 19, Clandestine Drug Laboratories Remediation Substitute Number 1. Senate File 24, Health Insurance Clinical Trials. Senate File 27, County Nuisance Abatement Authority. Senate File 28, Investment of State Funds Revisions. Senate File 29, Public Library Endowment Challenge Program. Senate File 31, Domestic Violence Counseling Period. Senate File 36, Public Health Emergencies Volunteers. Senate File 38, People First Language. Senate File 40, Uniform Trust Code Amendments. Senate File 41, Vacating Subdivisions. Senate File 42, Wyoming Court Security Act. Senate File 54, School Finance Rebated Recapture. Senate File 56, Omnibus Water Bill Construction. Senate File 58, State Trust Land Management Account. Senate File 62, Emergency Medical Technicians. Senate File 65, Post-Conviction Relief Petitions, DNA Evidence, Senate File 66, Community Juvenile Services, Senate File 71, Hathaway Scholarship Program, Success Curriculum, Senate File 76, Private Roads, Senate File 81, Fire Protection Districts, New Entities, Senate File 83, Retirement, Rehired Retirees, Senate File 84, Firemen's Pension Account Amendments, Senate File 85, Health Care Reform Pilot Project, Senate File 87, Capitol Building Restoration, and Senate File 88, Inmate Medical Furlough, are all on the consent list. Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dicaria?
Aye.
Fecht?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Basie?
Aye.
Von Flateren?
Aye.
President Schiffer?
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. Senate File 12, are there any changes? Case conflict? Basie, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 12, 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 conflict. Senate File 18, are there any changes? Oh, I'm sorry. Senate File 13, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Perkins, aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 13, 28 ayes, 2 noes. Senate File 18, are there any changes? Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 18, 30 noes. 30 ayes. 30 ayes. Senate File 19, are there any changes? Case aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 19, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 24, are there any changes?
Case
aye to no. Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 24, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 27, are there any changes?
Case
aye
to no.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 27, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate Senate File 28, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 28, 30 ayes. Senate File 29, are there any changes?
Case
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 29, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 31, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 31, 30 ayes. Senate File 36, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 36, 30 ayes. Senate File 38, are there any changes? Scott, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 38, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 40, are there any changes? Massey, conflict? Scott, aye to no. Closing. Oh. Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 40, 27 ayes, 2 noes, 1 conflict. Senate File 41, are there any changes? Scott, aye to no.
Schiffer, aye to no.
President Schiffer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 41, 28 ayes, 2 noes. Senate File 42, are there any changes?
Case
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 42, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 54, are there any changes? Allman, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Cooper, aye to no. Hines, aye to no. Larson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 54. 25 ayes, 5 noes. Senate File 56, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 56, 30 ayes. Senate File 58, are there any changes? Scott, aye to no. Larson, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 58, 28 ayes, 2 noes. Senate File 62, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Allman, conflict. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 62, 28 ayes, 1 no, 1 conflict. Senate File 65, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote to close. Senate File 65, 30 ayes. Senate File 66, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 66, 30 ayes. Senate File 71, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 71, 30 ayes. Senate File 76, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Bebout, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 76, 28 ayes, 2 noes. Senate File 81, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 81, 30 ayes. Senate File 83, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 83, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 84, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 84, 30 ayes. Senate File 85, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 85, 30 ayes. Senate File 87, are there any changes? Scott, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 87, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 88, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 88, 30 ayes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, Senate File 12, Dispensing Rooms, Products Sold, Senate File 13, Mental Health Professions Practice Act Amendments, Senate File 18, Business Entities Revisions, Senate File 19, Clandestine Drug Laboratories Remediation, Substitute Number 1, Senate File 24, Health Insurance Clinical Trials, Senate File 27, County Nuisance Abatement Authority, Senate File 28, Investment of State Funds Revisions, Senate File 29, Public Library Endowment Challenge Program, Senate File 31, Domestic Violence Counseling Period, Senate File 36, Public Health Emergencies Volunteers, Senate File 38, People First Language, Senate File 40, Uniform Trust Code Amendments, Senate File 41, Vacating Subdivisions, Senate File 42, Wyoming Court Security Act, Senate File 54, School Finance, Rebated Recapture, Senate File 56, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, Senate File 58, State Trust Land Management Account, Senate File 62, Emergency Medical Technicians, Senate File 65, Post-Conviction Relief Petitions, DNA Evidence, Senate File 66, Community Juvenile Services, Senate File 71, Hathaway Scholarship Program, Success Curriculum, Senate File 76, Private Roads, Senate File 81, Fire Protection Districts, New Entities, Senate File 83, retirement, rehired retirees, Senate File 84, Firemen's Pension Account Amendments, Senate File 85, Health Care Reform Pilot Project, Senate File 87, Capitol Building Restoration, and Senate File 88, Inmate Medical Furlough, have all passed the Senate. Bills on third reading. Senate File 5, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 5, Peace Officers, Probation, and Parole Agents, sponsored by Senator Feck, an act relating to criminal offenses, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We do have an amendment, third reading amendment number 1, the Senate File 5, the BBOT effect amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 5, third reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 2, after include.
Senator BBOT.
Thank you, Mr. President. Excuse me. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 5. And ladies and gentlemen, when I looked at this bill, there was one thing that I thought was left out of it, and that was the detention officer. And I spoke with my sheriff the other night, and as I understand it, you could have a situation where you go into jail, and the probation and parole officer, if this bill passes, or peace officer is there, and someone should attack them, then they will be prosecuted as a felon. But if the detention officer is standing there, it's a misdemeanor. And if you look at the definitions in the statutes, it's not clear relative to the detention officer, because in one part of the statutes it refers to him as being covered if he has gone to the law academy, and also if he's dealing with a person that's convicted as a felon. So I think this plugs a loophole in the law, and I spoke with a sponsor of this amendment. He thinks it makes a better bill, and I ask for your support.
Senator Fecht.
Thank you. Yes, I agree. I stand in support of this. I think it's an excellent idea. I don't know how we've ever missed this in the past, but the people that are most likely to be put in this positions are the ones that we left out, so I hope you would vote for this favorably.
Further discussion? The question is, on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 5, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 5 has passed. We are back on the bill. Senate File 5, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall it pass the Wyoming Senate? Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Fecht?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job? Job? Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Mockler,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Basie,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Schiffer.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, Senate File 5 has passed the Senate. Senate File 26, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 26, Business Entities, Registered Agents, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, and act relating to business entities, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have 4 amendments. First amendment is third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 26, the Perkins Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 26, third reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 7.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Stand and move third reading amendment to Senate File 26, third reading amendment 1, and ask for its favorable consideration and request we dispense with further reading of the amendment. The Mr. President, with respect to this bill, I wanted to show the body how really simple it is. If you really want to fight fraud and what's going on as far as people filing and having fraudulent information out there with respect to their corporation, I want to show you how simple and how effective the fighting the fraud can be, as opposed to the entire Senate File 26 that you have before you. I can't claim original authorship of this particular bill. This was something that was presented in committee by a former member of this body who's a longtime respected member of the bar here in Cheyenne, a longtime respected member of the legislature, and he came up with this idea. And what the idea was is each year when you file your annual report, simply file the required information. You know, you put in where the business is, who has copies of the records, and who's responsible for it. And so you can see in basically 2.5 pages, you can fight fraud effectively by simply requiring on the annual report to provide that simple information. Now, let me tell you why that's important, because what you have before you in Bill 26 is a bill that kills the messenger. That messenger is a registered agent. I had delivered today. If you'll look, there's a yellow piece of paper on here. It says Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe, LLC. This yellow copy, if you've got it. And hopefully, if it's on there. And what it is, the Wyoming Limited Liability Company lists Ima Shyster as a manager and lists telephone number and some other addresses. This is why it gets filed to the Secretary of State. It comes in and it goes to the Secretary of State, or it comes in, and this is the information that's out there, and it comes as a registered agent. You may or may not have ever met Ima Shyster, who's that manager, and yet the bill seeks to hold the registered agent responsible for delivering and filing this with the Secretary of State if it's not accurate. Now, this was delivered to you by a page today. Now, holding that page responsible for this is much like holding the registered agent responsible for what's being filed in the Secretary of State's office. Now you can say, well, the page is paid. We pay our pages, so they shouldn't deliver this stuff if they know it's fraudulent. So we should make them earn their pay. But does that seem fair? Because they have no way of knowing whether this information is correct or not. And that's the same problem we have in Senate File 26. There's no way of knowing for the registered agent if you know if this information is correct or not. It's no more fair to holding them responsible than it is to hold the pages responsible, because I asked them to deliver this piece of paper to you today. Now, that's the problem is that we're trying to make the registered agents the policemen, and registered agents have no power or ability to truly be policemen. So what Senate File, or what this First Amendment does is simply show in reporting how you could really simply make that effective. And that's something that's done consistently across the United States. It's not done in this state as well as it should be. We require this information from corporations already. We don't require it from numerous others of the entities that we have, limited liability companies and other types of business trusts and so on and so forth. And so you could solve that. In 3 pages, you could take care of what Senate File 26 does in about 40. However, Mr. President, at this time I'd like to withdraw this amendment because I think that the Corporations Committee intends to work on this. They're reviewing the corporate laws, and they're going to probably look at this during the interim. And actually, I would like to withdraw this amendment at this time and give them the opportunity to look at that effectively during the interim.
Hearing no objection, third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 26 is withdrawn. Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 26, Perkins Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 26, third reading amendment number 2, page 11, line 6.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd move amendment number 2, third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 26 and request to dispense with further reading of the amendment. This one, I don't intend to withdraw. This is the division that was, this is the division on the Senate committee, the standing committee amendment that was put out and that was voted down with one minor change to the language. Let me tell you what this division really does and why I don't understand why it's such a big deal and why it would, quote, gut the bill. What this does is ultimately, Senate File 26 asks that the following information be held with the registered agent. The name, the business address. You can read this on the bill at page 11, lines 5, referring to 1728-104D. What you want to have is the name of the business address, the business telephone number of a natural person, means a flesh and blood person, of an officer, director, employee, agent, who's entitled to receive communication from the registered agent. And then again later in this bill, in section 17-28-107, which is on page 16, beginning at lines 23, they want the registered agent to have the name and address of the officer, directors, managers, managing partner, trustee, or other similar capacity. They want to have that, the registered agent have that person on there. And then it repeats the same information that was in the previous provision, which is the name and address and telephone number of a person authorized to receive communications from the registered agent. And then third, it wanted to have a copy of any contract which now authorized the registered agent to accept service of process. So that's the information that's in the bill and you have to have with the registered agent. What the information that you took out in that division and this motion and this amendment would put back in, it simply says if you take that information and you put that information in the organizing document, in the Articles of Organization or the Articles of Incorporation, so that's right there for God, legislators, the public to see on the Internet. If you have that information there, so it's published and it's filed, then why does the registered agent have to hold on to it? Why is it so important if that information is filed in a public place with the Secretary of State's office? Then why does the registered agent have to be responsible to have that information? It's already on file. And that's what the division language it took out and I'm trying to put back in would do. I would call to your attention the fact that that's already in the bill and was already accepted as an amendment, information that would allow the registered agent to put that either by certified letter or in the contract that the resident agent has with the person that they are representing, the corporation that wants to file in Wyoming, it allows the resident agent to transfer that responsibility to file this information and keep it current with the Secretary of State's office. That's already in the bill. You've already said that's a good idea, so that already happens. So all this, that this amendment does is say that if the parties agree, if the entity agrees to put that out there in front and file it in the Secretary of State's office, that information of who's responsible and where the telephone numbers and the names, and that information is provided in the original articles that are filed in the Secretary of State's office downstairs, that the resident agent is no longer responsible to keep that information. And that's only common sense, my fellow senators, because it's already there. Why are we duplicating effort? It doesn't gut the bill, and in fact, I would submit to you that it makes a lot more sense to have that information in the Secretary of State's office than it is off with a registered agent who, the only thing I can analogize it to is you have a prosecutor and he's got significant evidence in a trial against a criminal defendant and he allows that evidence to be kept with the defense lawyer so that it's available at trial whenever you have it. You're talking about by requiring the resident agent to have that and relying on him, you're allowing the resident agent who's out there, and most of them are honest, but ultimately it's out there where it's subject to loss and spoilation and destruction. All those things are available, where if it's filed in the Secretary of State's office, it's there and it ain't going anywhere. We've got backups. We've got backup files every night. It's there to the public. And I would submit to you that putting this back in strengthens this and gets effectively anybody who wants to put that information in a public database and have it available ought to be able to do that. And my friends, I believe that that's far more effective in fighting fraud than relying on a registered agent who may be here today and gone tomorrow. And I submit and request your favorable consideration on Amendment number 2. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator DiCaria.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, Mr. President, I don't necessarily disagree with the premise of the good senator from Natrona County. The problem, Mr. President, becomes into the fact that what happens if they don't file? I mean, if people are doing what they're supposed to be doing, yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. We know the information goes to the Secretary of State's office. It's there. People who need it can go and access it. The problem, Mr. President, and the problem why this piece of legislation was brought forward was that we have a lot of corporations. I wouldn't say a lot. I'd apologize for that. But we do have some corporations that are less than, you know, honest about what they're doing. And, Mr. President, we need to make sure that when we're trying to track down who is responsible in those corporations, that we can do that. Mr. President, I would remind the body that the testimony from the Department of Homeland Security, the office in the state, in the committee, was that when he worked for the FBI, they finally just gave up, because when you tried to track some of these corporations down, you ran into a dead end, and that was the end of it, and it became useless after a while in order to start to try to keep going after corporations that you knew that was the end of the trail. The registered agent didn't have any information. The corporation, the documents they filed were not honest above board documents, and so there was no way of actually finding out who was at the end of the trail and who was responsible. Mr. President, pulled off the internet just this morning, and you could go there, but there are ads for filing your own virtual office in the state of Wyoming. It gives you a local phone number with a 307 area code, a local fax number with a 307 area code, a Wyoming street address. It says, have the prestige of your own office based in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Unlimited mail forwarding of packages. They'll charge you extra for that, but they'll do it. And a live operator. It says an optional live operator service replaces the voicemail with a live receptionist that answers the phone numbers in your company's name. Won't give them the information. And you can get all that for $295 a year. So you can go out today, buy yourself a Wyoming corporation, set it up. Who knows what you're going to do with it? But you can have an office and you can do all that through the registered agent. Mr. President, I would urge you to defeat this amendment, because really what we're trying to do is stop some of this practice. Will it create a little bit more burden for some people? Undoubtedly. You know, but in our race to go to the bottom, we forgot that sometimes you need to put in some protections to protect, you know, the citizens, not only of the state of Wyoming, but the citizens of the United States from fraudulent activity. So, Mr. President, I urge the body to defeat this amendment. Thank you.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. And as one of our colleagues from Casper often says, this has become a bad bill. This may help it. I'm not sure if it helps it enough. Folks, we did go in and construct our statutes to be the Delaware of the United States, so entities could come and come to Wyoming. We could get the fees from them. We were trying to encourage entities to come here. The purpose of a registered agent was simply to receive papers when you get sued and forward them to the entity. That's all it was ever intended to do. That's all a registered agent is directed to do. If you think that you're going to solve the corruption by requiring as the gentleman Casper said, to have require the registered agent to be the policeman, it's not going to happen. All the registered agent can do is demand that the entity give him information, and he puts it in file. If you want to prevent the fraud, then go back to the statutes that deal with corporations and require corporate entities to provide the information you want. And if the corporation fails to do it, then you revoke its charter. But the charter, or the ability to do business at a in the charter in the state of Wyoming, that's what you're looking at, not the registered agent. This bill has really, it's the sort of thing that's gone out to the wrong person doing the wrong thing. The corporations are the entity that you ought to be looking at. They're the ones that ought to be responsible for providing the information, and not the registered agent.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, speaking on and for the amendment, Mr. President, this is very similar to one that we adopted up in the Standing Committee. I think the one difference is it appears that this amendment makes explicit a duty that was merely implicit in the Standing Committee version. Mr. President, this amendment is not one of tremendous moment. It's an arcane dispute between the Secretary of State and the registered agent as to who's going to keep certain information. The amendment takes the position that if the Secretary of State keeps it, and therefore it's public, the registered agent doesn't need to. If we pass the amendment, we'll reduce somewhat the expense, but only somewhat, of having a registered agent. If we don't pass the amendment, we'll increase the expense. I don't think there's particular fraud-fighting implications either way. The difficulty we'll get into is that if somebody wants to use a corporation for fraudulent purposes, they'll be either lying to the Secretary of State or to their registered agent, and it won't make a lot of difference. There's another amendment coming later on that does deal in the fraud prevention area and that we'll have to consider very carefully. But this one, this is not the heart of the bill. This is a dispute as to who has to keep certain information.
Senator Sessions.
Mr. President, I was almost persuaded by our fine senator from Casper's eloquent speech, and then I looked down at the amendment, and it says if they agree, it may be filed with the Secretary of State, and a registered agent may require the entity to file. And the question I have concerning that is, why did you make it permissive if this is going to, if what you believe so strongly in that this is going to happen?
Senator Case.
Mr. President, thank you very much. You know, Mr. President, I've kind of gone round and round on this bill myself. And as you probably know, I kind of lean towards the libertarian side of things sometimes. And I look at this and I think what we're really doing with this bill is to make registered agents be responsible for their clients. Is that necessarily a good thing? It has advantages, believe me. Because in a post-9/11 world, it's a scary world out there. It's probably scary before. There's lots of things that are happening with corporations that are using their Wyoming names to harm people, not just in Wyoming, but all around the country and throughout the world. And so this bill, the purpose of this bill is to say, from now on, Wyoming demands that people that are working to be the registered agent of a corporation, we want you to be responsible for that corporation. That's really what the bill says, you know, in some sense. And you can see how that would tug at my libertarian principles sometimes. But we really do have a problem, Mr. President. We honestly and truly do. And I've got a website on my computer right now, and I'm going to read you what it says. It says, Wyoming Corporation, starting at $199. The Wyoming Corporation is ideal for asset protection, privacy, and to raise business credit. Wyoming LLC, starting at $199. Wyoming Limited Liability Companies combine the protections of the corporation with the tax advantages of a partnership. A virtual office, starting at $295. Convey professionalism with the virtual office package. A Wyoming local number, fax number, and mail forwarding combined to provide the ultimate in convenience. And I might add, anonymity. So that you can go and use the good name of Wyoming to hurt people. Mr. Chairman, this amendment removes the burden from the registered agent to know who his client is. This hurts the bill, And yes, indeed, I'm conflicted on my libertarian side, and I come down and ask you to oppose this amendment, because Wyoming does have a problem, and it's just not the same world that existed when we passed Wyoming's corporation laws, which were so lax and so easy.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I, too, would ask you to oppose this amendment. I guess if I were an attorney and working in the registered agents, I wouldn't want to take responsibility for them either. If you can get the Secretary of State to do that or somebody else, I don't think it's a burden to ask that once a year you make a contact with your client that you're serving as a registered agent for, that you get some information along with the bill that goes out. Now, you've heard testimony that there are many registered agents within Wyoming, at least, who don't send out a bill. They just do it for their friends. And that's wonderful, and I think that's great. But as you can see from the Internet and the virtual, and where it shows up to be just a lockbox at the post office, there isn't accountability. And I'm sorry, but I don't think it's an onerous burden to ask somebody who is charging to be a registered agent to be able to maintain information knowing who their client is. In this day and age, we need that protection. I think it's the right thing to do, and I would urge you to defeat this amendment.
Further discussion. Further discussion before the sponsor takes his second go. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, I would agree with my great friend, my good friend from Uinta County, and I would agree with my good friend from Teton County if this amendment did anything to stop that. But let me tell you, this is what the registered agent is required to do in the bill is, again, it's already in there, and this amendment doesn't change it. You have to have the name and the address of the person who can accept service. You've got to have the name and the address of the person who accepts, communication. You've got to have the name and the address of the person who's responsible for the records and where that is. Now, all this amendment says is if that is on file with the public, instead of in somebody's secret office or in somebody's secret file, if the company's willing and the registered agent's willing to simply put that information on file in the public, then isn't that enough? Isn't that what you want, transparency? This amendment provides transparency, pure transparency. In fact, I would submit to you that every company that would do that is even more assured that when you're dealing with a company that has it in the public file, you can be more assured that those people are going to be honest and straightforward for two reasons. One is anybody can go check it out now, and two is, guess what? For the registered agent to screw it up, it's a misdemeanor and a $500 fine. If you file something with the Secretary of State that you know is false, it's a felony. So I would suggest to you that permitting this actually goes further towards preventing fraud, because whether we have this amendment or don't have this amendment, it's not going to change what's on the Internet. It's not going to change what these unscrupulous people out there are doing. And I have no sympathy for them. If you find them and they're doing that, lock them up and throw away the key. I don't care. They deserve it. But in this case, you're simply talking about, just like our page, you're trying to make somebody, you're going to kill the messenger. This is like holding the FedEx guy responsible when he shows up at your door with something you don't like. And I would urge you to pass this amendment because it'll do more to increase fraud and doesn't relieve in any way the responsibility to have that information available to the public. And I would submit to you in even a more readily available form. Thank you.
Question is, on third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 26, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 26 has passed the Senate. Division being called for. All in favor of third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 26, please stand. All opposed, please stand.
12 noes.
Third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 26 has passed the Senate. Third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 26, the Perkins Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 26, third reading amendment number 3, page 12, line 1.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd move third reading amendment to Senate File 26 and request that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. Mr. President, what this does is addresses an issue that was brought up by my good friend from Albany County with respect to businesses that operate in Wyoming. When you look at this, and ultimately you've got this opportunity where you could have a rancher or somebody, it wouldn't be uncommon at all to have a rancher or somebody out there who might divide their minerals into one entity and their ranch into one entity and their cattle operation to another entity. And they might have a number of entities out there for perfectly good, legitimate reasons, mostly avoiding lawyers and lawsuits in large part. And it would seem to me that we ought to carve out an exception in this bill for entities that live here, that work here, and operate here. And so what I tried to do in this amendment is simply, with respect to the big deal is when you become a registered agent, is when you become a commercial registered agent, you've got 10 entities out there. And what this amendment says is that we would not count in that 10, that it only applied, the 10 would be for fewer resident non-operating business entities. And so what we're saying is if you've got a company that doesn't live and work and play here, that you count those. And so what we tried to do was you have to kind of go into this backwards, but the object of this is if you look at the definition, for purposes of this section, a resident non-operating business entity shall be a resident entity that does not have a Wyoming location where significant business operations of the entity are regularly conducted. My proposal is that we would allow the Secretary of State to develop rules and regulations with respect to what significant business operations would be. But ultimately what we'd do is we would exempt from counting into that number ranchers or other people who have legitimate business entities that are here. They've got offices here. They've got employees here. We know where we can find them. We can probably find them in the phone book and drive over and talk to them if we need to. And it would just seem to me in this bill, as we go out and try and increase responsibility and try and provide more information and make better assurances that information is available to those who need it and have it, that net casts a very broad swath. And it catches a lot of things that we don't intend, which is very legitimate people who live here, work here, and play here and own property here. And our net is casting so broad that we're gonna come in and impose upon them additional greater responsibilities and costs than just operating their businesses. And so I'd urge your support and consideration of this amendment that we would exempt those people from some of these requirements. Thank you.
Discussion, Senator Case.
Mr. President, I think this is a good amendment in concept. The only caution I might have is we might find there's little hitches in the definition of, you know, who does business in Wyoming, what the office is, and all that. So that we may have to revisit this issue when we go to conference on this bill, which undoubtedly we will. With that in mind, I think the spirit of the amendment is right on. We need to provide a way not to burden folks doing business in Wyoming. And frankly, I don't think most Wyoming businesses use the services of a registered agent. I think they deal directly with the Secretary of State's office, and so I really don't think this is a big issue.
Further discussion, Senator DiCario.
Mr. President, just a question for the sponsor, and I appreciate the spirit of this amendment, but at the end of the day, you still have to be assured that when they're giving you a location, that you know that it's a legitimate location, somebody that actually does business. It's not just that I give you an address for a vacant street location somewhere or something when I put it on there. So maybe the sponsor could talk a little bit about the protections that would be implied with this. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, and this was not a concept that was particularly talked about in either the interim committee or the standing committee. Where significant business operations of the entity are regularly conducted. What does that mean? I heard that, well, we'll leave that to the Secretary of State, but I would suggest that this is going to be a fairly difficult thing to define carefully, and if you don't define it carefully, you're going to wind up with a whole bunch of people going around this act. Is the example that was cited where somebody has divided a property and they've got one LLC that holds the mineral rights to it and separate LLC that actually operates the ranch. Well, does the entity, does the entity that is holding the mineral rights do any business at all? Other than file the annual report, which is what would happen with a corporation that was just sitting on some attorney's shelf waiting to be sold. Mr. President, I have some reservations about this amendment as a change coming in on third reading that could cause some difficulty simply because of the problems with defining those significant business operations words. And I would urge the sponsor to elaborate on that on his second shot.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. This amendment is clearly intended to describe those relationships that some of my colleagues have described as clients. And there are many of us and many attorneys in the state who offer to be registered agents for their clients. And believe me, folks, you're not worried about people that are clients. These entities that you've seen here, they don't have attorney relationships. They're not the clients of anybody. They've got a Dropbox and they've got a registered agent that they pay to send them pleadings. The concern I have is that it's as though what the approach we've taken is we don't want to eliminate any of the fees that we receive, so let's don't go after the corporations and require that they provide this information. Let's go after the registered agents. They're not clients. They're customers. There's somebody that pays you you pay them an annual fee for these commercial outfits. They receive an annual fee. They receive complaints, and they send the complaint to you. And as a matter of law, when the complaint is handed to the registered agent, that constitutes service. When you're suing an entity that's out of state, it's a tremendous easy, an ease. Many of the corporations that, multinational corporations that do business in Wyoming, I don't have to go to Missouri. I don't have to go to Wisconsin. I don't have to go anywhere out of the state. I go to their registered agent and I sue the registered agent. I serve them. I don't sue them, excuse me. I serve them. And your service is by law, is effective the day that you hand it to the registered agent. If you're an insurance company in the state of Wyoming, I take it to the insurance commissioner. The insurance commissioner may not even know where that insurance company is, who they are, or what they do. But as a matter of law, the service is effective then. And then if you get a judgment based upon that service, your judgment is effective. That's the only purpose that we had, is to make service of process easier for our residents to sue entities. It had no other purpose. And once again, it's as though, well, we sure like them filing these fees. We like collecting the fees. But rather than regulating the corporations, let's create a responsibility that never contemplated or existed between a registered agent and the companies for whom they were accepting service of process as a matter of law for.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also share the concern about what significant and regularly means, and the burden of proof would be on the Secretary of State to try to go out and improve that, case after case after case. I think that needs to be better defined. But I'm wondering if this amendment really does what the sponsor intends it to do. And looking back on the bottom of page 11, at the beginning of this paragraph, it says, the registration requirements of this section shall not apply to a person who serves as registered agent for 10 or fewer business entities. And now we're going to carve out this exception only for registered agents who serve 10 or fewer non-resident or non-resident non-operating business entities. And so if somebody is serving resident business entities who are operating, there's no way that they can get this exemption. And I don't think that that's the intent. And so before the sponsor gets up the second time, I'm wondering if you'd like to take a second look at it and see if that's what he wants to do.
Further discussion. The question is on third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 26. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay.
No.
Third reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 26 has failed to pass. Third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 26, the Perkins Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 26, third reading amendment number 4, delete the Scott Committee of the Whole Amendment.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. This is the last, the promise on this bill. hooray, we can move on to something else. While I appreciate Senator Scott's intent in this bill, and the spirit in which this amendment was given on committee of the whole, the only issue I had with it, and the reason I brought this particular amendment, was I believe that this is just duplicative of some of existing requirements that are already in there. Ultimately, if you look at page 16, line 15 through lines 21 of the bill, which specifically provides in the statute that it creates a 1728-107A Romanet 5, already requires that any time there's a change in any of this information within 60 days, it has to be updated. That's the requirement that's in this bill. If this bill becomes law, that already exists with corporations and other things. If there's a change in 60 days, you're supposed to notify. And so with respect to the requirement that we do this within 13 months, or we have the other one within a certain time after organization is created, ultimately we still have an underlying responsibility to update that information, anybody who does, if there's a change within 60 days. And so if the amendment, the Scott Amendment from the Committee of the Whole, actually kind of creates, in my mind, an inner conflict in this law. Which one are we supposed to do now? Is it 60 days or is it every 13 months? How is that supposed to work? And I appreciate that. And you can vote this one up or vote this down. But ultimately, I saw it as duplicative of requirements that are already in the statute.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, on and against this amendment. Mr. President, this amendment is not duplicative. If you look on page 16, line 16, 17, the 60-day requirement relates to the period before the entity's first annual report is accepted. Mr. President, what the amendment we adopted in Committee of the Whole does is it gets to the heart of the duty of the registered agent. The duty of the registered agent is to be the place in Wyoming where you can go if you need to serve the entity, either because you want to sue them and you want somebody to accept service of process, and that's convenience for the attorneys, or you want to serve them with a subpoena, your law enforcement. You need information about the activities of this corporation. You go to the registered agent. They need to be able to forward a subpoena, get it served on that entity, get it to them so you can get the information. They need to be able to tell you who they are. And the problem that we get into is we get registered agents that can't find the company that they're serving as a registered agent, probably because it has engaged in some kind of criminal activity, and it would just assume the registered agent couldn't find them. And what the amendment we adopted does is it requires the registered agent every year to contact these companies. It requires them to do it more frequently in the first year because that's where the biggest trouble is. So, and if they can't contact them, then they'll have to resign and you'll start the trigger on the administrative dissolution. This is an amendment to get at the problem that the Secretary of State is really having, that they can't go to the registered agent and actually get through to the company. So I think this requirement, Mr. President, is extraordinarily important. And it's written so as to be as administratively simple as possible. Frankly, the concept was that a successful contact would be just sending them a bill and getting paid. You've done that, you know how to contact them. And you can provide a trail then when law enforcement comes looking because there's a problem. So I would urge very strongly that we defeat this amendment and stick with the position we took in Committee of the Whole.
Further, just Senator Cooper.
Just a question for the sponsor when he takes his second time. Is it not true that that these registered agents usually on a regular basis or a routine basis, I guess, contact their clients on a yearly basis anyway, but, you know, for nothing else but maybe for billing purposes or at least for asking or requesting updated information? I just wanted to kind of see what your answer to that would be. Thank you.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, registered agents are a whole variety. And there are commercial registered agents that act and serve for large corporations. I have clients that are multinational clients, and they have an entity that's a corporate entity, and they like having the corporate entity around who is stationed around the United States so that when they get served at any location, they have a specific process where they get a lawsuit served, and the notice gets to the corporate legal office immediately. If you can imagine, if you're a Fortune 500 or a company and you can be served in any state, it's very important to know when you get served, how you get served, and make sure you respond, because what happens, what we say is that as a matter of law, if we serve the person that's identified as a registered agent in the state of Wyoming at the Secretary of State's, that service is deemed as a matter of law to be complete. You don't want a situation where I'm a registered agent and I resign on January 31st because I didn't get a call back. The minute I resigned, you have nobody to sue. There's nobody that I know in this case that's where you could sue in Wyoming. Now you've got to search the world. As long as there's a registered agent, the moment you serve them, that entity has 20 days to respond. That's of a tremendous value to an company or a plaintiff or a consumer, somebody in Wyoming wanting to make suit. And what's happening here is people are not recognizing the real significance of being able to sue an entity by just serving a registered agent. And that registration ought to be effective, and it shouldn't terminate. You don't want it to terminate. Now, this whole deal of duty is a myth. Registered agents don't have duties. They simply say, I will, if you pay me, if I'm a commercial entity or as an attorney for a client, I'll say, which would you rather have? Would you rather be served at your house or have the paper served on me? But with the papers are brought to me. That's service. Even if you're out of the state, if you're traveling over on a vacation for 2 months, you've got to respond in 20 days. Otherwise, if the client was the registered agent, if he's traveling for 2 months, you've got to wait till he comes back home to get service on him. Tremendous ability, but there's no duty. I don't have the duty to do anything other than accept those papers and forward them on, and the day you're served, that's when the lawsuit is effective. Tremendous value. Now, if you have problems with corporations and whether or not we're going to allow Wyoming entities, Wyoming corporations, to have post office box, then terminate that practice. But don't take away the protection of being able to serve a registered agent who owes no duty other than to accept those papers, and your process is effective on that day.
Senator Johnson.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I really enjoyed the discussion about lawsuits and the registered agents and the corporations. But this is a problem for the FBI and Interpol and worldwide criminal activities using our corporations for their benefits. And I am making my decisions based on that fact. That's why the Secretary of State asked us to do this. So please let's keep in mind why it came before us. Is the worldwide criminals that are using this for their benefit at the expense and reputation of Wyoming.
Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, this bill is about putting a face on a corporation. It's about getting rid of anonymous lockboxes. It's about establishing a place where we can serve papers to these companies. That's what the whole thing's about. And yes, it increases the obligation of the registered agent more than they were when we wrote our laws that were designed to be more liberal than even Delaware's. The idea that the whole thing is about whether you can have a service of process in town at your attorney's or out at the ranch at your house, that's not the point. The point is we are now going to have service of process. We're now going to know more about the companies that do business and use Wyoming's good name. And yes, registered agents have a higher obligation than they've ever had before with this bill to know those corporate entities and who they are doing business with. Because you understand, it's not the Secretary of State office that forms a corporation. It's not the Secretary of State that gets paid to sell a corporation to a company. It's not the Secretary of State's office that bills companies. Registered agents form companies, bill companies, and sell companies.
Senator Nicholas, for your second.
President, I would like to respond to that. Now, I've been practicing now going on 30 years, and when I began practicing in the state, when you filed your articles, you had to put the name of the incorporators, you had to put their address, you had to put information. And our Secretary of State office wanted to be business friendly. We wanted to be the new Delaware of the United States. And so we began to eliminate those requirements down to the point where you could file articles now that are posted on the Secretary of State's website, require none of that information. Now, many states didn't go that far. And many states have not had this problem, and they don't have to impose on their secretary or their registered agents to do these absurd requirements. The reason they don't have the problem is because they put a face to the name. They require the corporation to do what we used to do. We used to do it for years. You had to put in your officers. You had to put in your find out your regular place of business. That's what we used to do. That's the part of the act to go after. If you want to correct the act, you want to require a corporation to have a face, fine. But believe me, folks, requiring registered agents to call somebody every 13 minutes is not going to solve Interpol's problem, not going to serve any law enforcement problem. It's not going to stop any crookedness. But if you want to restrict the charters and what they can do and require that charters, a corporate charter, have a face with a name or contacts with the state, it's easy to do. All we have to do is retreat on laws that we've adopted, but they're not these ones.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. And on the amendment now, and not so much on the bill, the amendment before us basically, I think, takes away some of the extra imposed duties to the registered agents and the extra cost that's going to be passed on to most of the people in Wyoming that are the good players. The good senator from Albany County hit the nail right on the head. This bill should have been brought forth by retreating from our position that we went forward with years ago that deleted all of those requirements. Those requirements aren't reimposed. That's where we need to go. This bill goes in the wrong direction. This bill costs the people of Wyoming that doesn't really do anything to aid in the fraudulent practices that are going to continue, only this time, rather than just they're going to have the veil of a registered agent.
Senator Scott, for your second time.
Mr. President, this amendment, I think, brings us the fundamental issue in the bill, and I will ask for the yeas and nays on it. Mr. President, you know, we've talked widely here about the problems that we have seen. We've made our laws intentionally very business-friendly so that it's easy for people in Wyoming, and frankly, we're trying to get business from elsewhere, to come into Wyoming to incorporate. In the LLC area, there are some provisions that I will say I don't fully understand that provide an extra degree of privacy, and you can see in this day and age why people want a degree of privacy. That's not the issue before us. The issue before us with this amendment is, should it be the job of the registered agent to know how to contact the people, the corporation, for which they are the registered agent? The amendment we adopted in Committee of the Whole says yes. They should be able to, that should be part of their job, and they should have to do it once a year. It said 13 months because sometimes it takes a little extra time to get your annual bill paid. But basically the requirement is once a year. It's a shorter requirement in that first period between the time they filed the Secretary of State and the first annual report, because that's when, in our experience, a lot of these disappear over the horizon and you can't find them anymore, and that is where we've had a lot of the trouble with criminal activity. And you can change the requirements all you want. The Secretary of State's office, what has to be filed there, and the crooks, they'll tell you anything you want to know, except it'll be fiction when the thing has gone through a couple of owners and you don't know anymore. The key job of the registered agent is to be able to find the corporation. And so when Interpol or the Cheyenne Police Department or the Securities and Exchange Commission or whoever comes looking, they have some way to have a trail that leads them back to the corporation. And it needs to be a current trail, which is what the provision that this amendment is seeking to delete does. It forces the registered agent to be able to successfully contact the company. It is a burden. It's not a big burden. Heck, I imagine most of them send a bill every year. And it's designed, if that's how it works, that meets the requirement. But I think this is the heart of the bill, that if we're going to put a stop to the criminal activity, you've got to be able to find them. So I would urge us to defeat this amendment.
Question is on third read. Senator Perkins, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, again, I'd agree with my good friend from Natrona County, also from Natrona County, that it is a fiction about you got to stop the evictions. But the problem is this bill doesn't do anything. This amendment, unless as the committee, the whole amendment that my amendment would remove, doesn't change the fact that the contact is this. Your registered agent, you send out and say, give me your, I'll contact you. And so you send it off to the post office box or wherever it is, the physical address, and you get back this information that's fraudulent. How have we done anybody any service? The other thing I would suggest to you is, what does it mean to successfully contact? Is that if you get paid, okay, that's a successful contact, but what's a successful contact? If you get back this, is that a successful contact? The answer would be yes, that would be a successful contact. What good is that going to do? The issue, my good friend from Albany County hit the nail right on the head, is if you want to get at the issues, go back and you simply require the entities to file that information with their annual report, and then it's there. Matter's closed. You don't have to rely on a registered agent. The other effect is that if you leave the Committee of the Whole amendment intact, what will happen is you're going to have an adverse and unintended consequence that I predict. Because I'll predict that because I serve as registered agent for a number of entities. And without some protection, with these new entities, with these new things being imposed, most of them I don't get paid to do it. I just do it because they're clients, not registered agents, not as a... But simply, I'm not going to deal with the exposure, and so I'm going to quit. By the end of March, I'll have resigned from every registered agent that doesn't live, that I don't know personally, that doesn't live within my town. And I'll just stop, because I'm not going to subject myself to that kind of exposure. And I would submit to you that there are lots of honest registered agents out there that are going to do the same thing. And then where is the face? Where's the face at that point in time when you drive people who want to do the right thing, you drive them out and you drive them away? And this, the point that the good senator from Albany County makes is a vital point about service of process, because the important part is that's when the clock starts ticking. If you don't have a registered agent to serve, your subpoena for information isn't effectively served and the clock doesn't tick. It's not just a lawsuit, it's the subpoena that law enforcement needs to get at the information. That doesn't tick if there's not a registered agent. And I submit to you that when you start piling on things that were never intended to be on the registered agent, you're going to end up with less registered agents, you're going to end up with less service of process, and it's going to be a bigger mess and a bigger quagmire when the answer was right there in front of us which is you retreat back and require that information be filed annually with the annual report. And then you have the auditor go out and you have the auditor, instead of the auditor coming around and see if the registered agent has the information and see if he's successfully contacted, you have the auditor go out and you contact the companies that have that information on file and find out if they're there, instead of find out if registered agents who live down the street are there. Thank you, Mr. President.
Hey, Mr. President, just point of information, was amendment moved?
The amendment was moved and the yeas and nays have been called for. The question is on third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 26, the yeas and nays haven't been called for. Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
No.
Allman?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
No.
Fecht?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Basie?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Schiffer?
Aye.
Closing vote? Did you want Sessions? Sessions, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 14 ayes, 16 noes.
Third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 26 has failed to pass the Senate. We are back on the bill. Senate File 26, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall Senate File 26 pass the Senate? Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Fecht?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Job? Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Mockler?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Basie?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Schiffer?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 19 ayes, 11 noes.
Senate File 26, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, Senate File 26 has passed the Senate. Senate File 46, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 46, Discharge Water Management, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, an act relating to water, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We do have two amendments. The first one is third reading amendment number one to Senate File 46, the Feck Bebout Vasey Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 46, third reading amendment number one, delete the Feck Committee of the Whole Amendment.
Senator Feck.
Mr. President, thank you very much. This may not be the single most contentious bill that we will face, but it's certainly in the top 3 to 5. And in the Committee of the Whole, I proposed an amendment, sir, that required the state engineer to respond to the site of a complaint within 10 business days. There was quite a bit of discussion regarding that time period as to whether or not that was reasonable. It also had a statement in there that if the state engineer found evidence to support it, that the coal bed methane discharge should cease. The state engineer said that the second part of that amendment, he would simply never be able to gather enough information to actually order the cessation of that excess discharge in a preliminary evaluation. And in discussing this with many of the members here, the 10 days seemed to be a very limiting time constraint, and so we thought we would offer a 30-day preliminary investigation as a more reasonable time period. I move the amendment, sir, and I ask for your favorable consideration.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Hines, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I oppose this amendment, and I asked you to think about the timetable frame. Even the 10 days that we currently have in the bill can cause problems. If you're a downstream landowner and the water is coming down your stream, coming down the creek, flooding your meadows, if it's hay season, in 10 days probably much less than 30, your hay crop can be ruined. If it's washing out a crossing on your creek, that the only way you can get to part of your business, that will be ruined. If it's flooding out in the winter time, in the winter along the creek banks is where a lot of animals come for protection to get out of the weather, that would be ruined for those animals. If the state engineer, and I understand why he's concerned about the time period, but I asked, I guess for everybody can relate a little better, if the city or somewhere having water problems and water is running onto your property going into your basement, do you want to wait 30 days before the city have to do anything? You know, I think we'd better stick with the 10, and in my opinion, it should be better. The state engineer we just authorized a 147 position. He have a lot of positions scattered around the state. I don't think 10 days is unreasonable for someone in one of those positions to come and make an examination. The landowner have no power. And let me point out, it certainly wouldn't affect me because I'd probably be the one causing the problem. My ranch is at the head of the drainage, and so my water would be going on someone else's ranch. But if you're downstream and the water coming from another landowner, you have no idea probably where it's coming from, who to contact, what company is doing it. So I think we need to stick with the bill the way we have it right now.
Further discussion? The question is on third reading amendment number one to Senate File 46. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Third reading amendment number one to Senate File 46 has failed to pass. Third reading amendment number 2, the Landon Amendment. Would the chief clerk please, would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 46, third reading amendment number 2, delete the Burns Committee of the Whole Amendment.
Senator Landon.
Mr. President, thank you. I'm relatively new to this chamber, as you know, but I've been around long enough to know that certain kinds of language and certain bills can give you some heartburn. This particular bill, as you know, I did not support the last time around. And I've gone back over it the last few days, and I've really come to the fact that I really believe that this amendment that we passed on Committee of the Whole is one of the reasons why. I'm not sure if the good senator from Sheridan intended or not. By the way, I apologize. I would move this amendment. What I think we did here is to take a bad bill and make it worse. What the language is going to do is to provide the opportunity for one singular landowner to just ball up the process even worse. I've got friends on both sides of the issue, and one landowner called me to say, well, what about the situation when I want the water and somebody upstream is going to have the opportunity to slap an injunction on this and stop things? Well, I think the original language of the bill was better than what we did on the Committee of the Whole, and I would urge that you pass the amendment.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, on and against the amendment, Mr. President, as regards the concern expressed by the downstream user who may want this water, what the original amendment that's being suggested be expunged, be deleted. Let's go back to what it said. And it said, if the state engineer finds the capacity and the reach of interest, now the reach is the drainage, at a particular point, is less than the natural capacity of the water course, the state engineer or superintendent of the water division in which the reach of interest exists shall order the necessary construction, and then we go to the amendment, of conveyance structures mutually agreeable to the operators and the landowners. So we're talking about something that they both agree to, but not limited to pipelines, diversions around the reach of interest, or channel enhancements. So, Mr. President, what we're talking about here basically is to get the water, there's a narrow point where the drainage is, and that's what's causing the damage to the landowner at that point. It's backing up or it's gone over its traditional water course, and it's flooding this landowner's hay fields or bottomlands or whatever it is. The cheapest way to do it would be to ditch in there. That is what the operator would like to do because it's the cheapest way to go. There is a problem with ditching in many cases, and you see from a lot of these pictures where you see areas that are completely frozen. They look like lakes. That's because in winter, water freezes, and the ditches quite often will freeze and back up, and that's what causes the flooding quite often. The landowner knows these lands better, frankly, than the operator, especially since they've operated on, in many cases, for many generations. All this amendment did, the Burns Amendment did, was say that it doesn't have to just be ditching. You can pipe it through or you can bring it through another way. The downstream landowner who may want that water, this doesn't affect them at all because what they're talking about is diverting the water around that narrow reach. We're putting it back in the water course. So the downstream user isn't affected by this amendment at all. And, Mr. President, I urge the body to resist this particular amendment.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, speaking on and for the amendment, Mr. President, I have some trepidation with this bill. I'm sympathetic to the landowners that in many cases really are being abused by the development up there and don't have as much say as they really need in what's going on. At the same time, we need to recognize that this development's important for our country because we need the energy. It's important for our state because we need the revenue that the coal bed methane generates. And Mr. President, even more importantly, it's important for some of my constituents whose jobs depend on this development activity. So I can see both sides of the issue here. The difficulty I have with the Committee of the Whole Amendment as opposed to the original language is in the Committee of the Whole Amendment, as I read it, conveyance structures mutually agreeable to operators and the landowners. Mr. President, what that language does is it effectively gives the landowner an absolute veto because he can somehow find that there is nothing that he is agreeable with. He doesn't want the development, period. It's disrupting the way life is. He's not getting any royalties out of it. He just doesn't want it. Make him go away. And I'm afraid it won't stop all of the development because it only occurs if the state engineer finds capacity in the reach of interest is less than the natural capacity water course, which incidentally I've read and read and read and listened to explanations and I can't understand it, but apparently it means something to the state engineer. So it doesn't stop all the development. But it, I think, Mr. President, has the potential for stopping a major portion of it. And I think that's a fatal flaw in the Committee of the Whole Amendment. So I think we would be much better off to adopt this amendment and go back to the bill as it came to the floor.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, if you read further on in the bill, the landowner can't just stop all CBM operations. There are other remedies to go. If you go on to page 7, the state engineer can adopt reasonable rules and regulations necessary for the implementation. So the engineer can actually do this, or you can appeal to the Board of Control. The operator can do it as well as the landowner. So the landowner doesn't get an absolute veto over whether all these operations cease or not. All this amendment really does is opens up the avenue to the landowner so that if they want a pipeline, they have the right to request a pipeline rather than having to be subjected to ditching, which, as you said yourself, this is about money. And the operators want to get rid of the water as cheaply as possible. The cheapest way is ditching, but sometimes and quite often that is not the best way to treat the landowner or his property.
Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. President, before the sponsor of the amendment takes his second shot, you know, you can appeal to the Board of Control all you want, or to the, and the state engineer can adopt all the rules and regulations you want. But if our law, so it has to be mutually agreeable, and the landowner doesn't agree, you can't get anywhere with those appeals and those regulations. Maybe I'm missing something, but it looks to me like, although it's a laudable goal, this amendment is giving the landowner a veto from which there is no effective appeal.
Vice President.
Mr. President.
Mr. Vice President, speaking on and and against this amendment. First of all, in no way can this amendment shut down CBM development in Wyoming. It isn't going to happen. What this amendment tries to do is to open up again the ability of an operator to dispose of water as cheaply as possible. The amendment that's being asked to be considered for deletion, what it does is says, go out and manage the water in what they call a reach. And the reach is where the flow occurs in any given private owner's place of operation. It can be longer, it can be shorter. It's what the rancher owns. What it's saying is go out and work it out. How do you manage the water to minimize the damage to his ag operation? Sometimes it's going to cost more than just letting it run. Sometimes it'll cost less. Many ranchers say, bring on the water. We're in the seventh year of a drought. We want all the water we can get. They may want the water for storage to put into a reservoir. They may want the water for irrigation purposes. Quite often in the last couple of years, they've just wanted the water to water cattle because there was no other water available. Will it shut down? Will it shut down any CBM operator within that entire drainage? Not at all. Not at all. Can't do it. It means that how the water is conveyed across a private property right will be worked out mutually. That's what it does. The water's still going to go across, and the guy down, further down the drainage can say, let it run. Or he can say, I like what my neighbor's doing. Keep it in a pipeline. Or they can get together and say, put it in a reservoir up here. And when times get tough, we'll run a little water down this ephemeral stream because we need it to water our livestock. What you will find is it will lead to some creativity and some real use of water rather than just letting it flow and freeze and flow and freeze and donating it to our good friends across the line in Montana. We always want to watch out for Montana. We always want to watch out for Montana, actually. But this in no way will shut down the operation. My suggestion to you is that what this will do in the long run is to manage water. And it will manage water on the part of both the operators and the landowners in that ephemeral drainage. And like I say, it can be pipelines, it can be a large storage reservoir, it can be let it flow, but nobody's going to be deprived of either their water nor their ability to develop coal bed methane. I agree wholeheartedly with my colleague from Natrona County. That operation is vital both to our state and to our nation, and it is not the intent to shut it down. I urge you to vote no on this amendment.
Senator Von Flatter.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President, and I certainly agree with the President that it's not going to shut down CBM development. And I do have connections to CBM development, and, you know, we'll freely admit that. But let me point out to you that on page 6, line 9, clear through the next subsection all the way to the bottom of line 24, also talks about landowner and state engineer's office shall review and approve construction plans, and subsection J says that the landowner fails to provide written approval, construction order shall be revoked. There's a lot of protection in here. To have the, in standing in support of this amendment, to remove the other amendment, to have it in there, it's mutually agreed upon, and you start out with somebody that has an issue to begin with the water being on their land, to get a mutual agreement that it's not going to be built exactly like they want it, in other words, it's probably in a pipeline buried and hidden, will be almost impossible. What you've set it up for, and as was alluded to by the tall senator from Natrona County, what you've set up is a loggerhead, a logger jam is going to go to court. And will it shut down CBM development? No. Will it shut down your minerals on your ranch that's enjoying those waters and you may be the mineral owner? Remember, a lot of minerals are private. Not the majority by any means in the state, but a lot are. So it's a rancher that may own the minerals that suddenly are not being developed. And last year we saw where last 8, 10 months ago,
You shut me down for 2 or 3 months when we're getting $6-7 a MCF, and then say, fine, we got it settled and we're open. And I think it got all the way down to about 12 cents in MCF. Timing's everything in that business, so let's support this amendment, defeat the original, mutually agreed to, isn't going to happen when you have two polar opposite parties to begin with. I stand in support of this amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment before the sponsor takes his second shot? Any further discussion, Senator Landon?
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I, too, appreciate
your comments. Just a minute, Senator Landon. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I very much appreciate the comments from our president, because we all know that he's been up there, and I, too, have cowboyed along the Tongue River, and I know that country a little bit myself. And I agree with him as well. I don't think that this is necessarily going to shut down coal bed methane production. What I have a problem with is the language in the original amendment, which, you know, mutually agreed upon. The good senator from Campbell County is exactly right. That just simply isn't going to happen in some cases. And my fear is that that's just going to ball things up. I thought the senator from Natrona County was very eloquent in that regard. And I don't think the language is what we need in this bill. I think there are plenty of protections for our landowners. And I would urge you to adopt this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. The question is, third reading, amendment number 2. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
Second reading, third reading, amendment number 2 has failed. We're back on the bill. Division being called. All those in favor of third reading, amendment number 2, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Chair votes no.
15 no's.
That amendment fails, having failed to receive a majority of the votes. We're now back on the bill.
We are back on the bill. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you. And I guess for the as I struggle through this bill, I would like to have folks that are on the committee that really address this talk to us a little bit about, on page 2, lines 11 through 18, this in essence is part of the guts of the bill, where it says that except as provided in 413507, which I can't tell are exceptions or not. I'm struggling with that. And it's section E of this. It is unlawful for the quantity of water discharged from individual or combined coal bed gas wells to exceed. Now, when I go back to look at our general environmental quality laws, what we generally say, you can't discharge without a permit. You can't do certain things without a permit. And so there's permits issued, regulation, and if you violate your permits, then there are civil penalties. When you say it's unlawful for the quantity of water to discharge, then the questions come up, what does that mean? Are we just creating a private right of action where you could say it's now a crime and now I can sue because you violated the law? Are we creating a misdemeanor offense, a felony offense? Is it a specific intent crime? Is it a general intent crime? And why are we using that as the mechanism to implement a regulatory, if we're really wanting a regulatory type legislation, then I'd go back and looking at the Air Quality Act. It says you go out, you get a permit. If you violate your permit, then there are civil penalties. But in this you know, as if I'm a plaintiff's lawyer, I know what it means if you violate the law, and I know that if you violate the law, generally I can argue that that's a standard by which I can sue. But again, if you've got combined wells. Who are we going to prosecute? Who's going to enforce it if the violation takes place? I'm still, I would like to know more about why it was chosen to use that vehicle to implement a regulatory process, if that's what we're talking about.
Senator Larson.
Mr. Chairman, not being or having an attorney on the committee who wants to get into those, I can't answer your question. But I can tell you why it's there, and that is because that was the method suggested by the state engineer with all of them to do that. Your legal technicalities, frankly, I can't answer. And unless someone on the committee wants to address that, why, I guess we'd just have to say that that's the lawyering part of the bill that I don't think ever came up as exactly what that was when the bill was in the committee. I'm going to remind everybody once again, this is a piece of legislation that has been worked on through the select task force, has had innumerable hearings, discussions on and off, back and forth. The parts you're talking about, and I can't make an argument to that, to the good senator from Larry, whether that's good or bad, was the methodology suggested by the state engineer's office. And beyond that, vote it up, vote it down, whatever you see. We've had a lot of discussion today when it was on amendments of having everybody get together. And all we have to do is have everybody get together and everything will be all right. It's not going to happen. No matter which way you vote, that's your choice. There, at least 50% are going to be unhappy no matter which way it goes. And folks, that's a fact. So if you feel that civil penalties versus the other penalties never came up in committee because we don't have any attorneys there, and however you feel about it, vote that way. But it was put in that way because the task force and those working on it and the state engineer's office thought that was the proper way.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. My friend back there from Park County was telling me stories about this chamber years before I ever got here. He tells a story about a gentleman getting up, talking about a certain bill, and called it a gummer. This is another one of those. This is not a good bill. It doesn't do anything for either side but create more problems. You saw this piece of paper that was handed out to you earlier. It just goes through and it just creates more and more problems. Every time you put another amendment on it, it creates more and more problems. It doesn't really solve anything. The task force went into the idea of coalbed methane water management and everything, looking at it, and they agreed to pass everything on out of the task force on consensus. I like consensus. It's when you have an idea and everybody's head's going up and down and nobody wants to argue against it. You just keep moving on. But I understand that this bill didn't come out of the task force with consensus. It required a vote to get it out. So they couldn't even in the task force couldn't even come to an agreement on whether this is what they wanted to do or not. As far as the mediation and the amendment that we just put on here and how people can get together, there was quite a movement by a lot of people in both sides of the creek, you might say, on how to resolve problems. And there was different organizations from livestock, from growing things, from industry, all put this mediation group together and was willing to put it on the table free of charge for these folks to get together when there was a problem that we addressed in this bill. And it just kind of floated out there. And the task force didn't grab a hold of it, and it wasn't used. When I hear that the state engineer says there's good things in this bill, he ought to. Because when you look at this bill, this is a state engineer power-grabbing vehicle. Because every time you go through here, you're not looking at mediation. You're not looking at this group that was put on the table to help come in from all portions of the industries to fix a problem. We're looking to the state engineer. And it's almost like that old Stallone movie where the Judge Dredd drives in on the flying motorcycle. That's wrong. Fix it now or execute. You look through here, and you can see examples of it just in here where they talk about whether the surface owner has the right to use excess water. And then it goes into what those rights are. He can store it. He can find beneficial use for it. Well, the problem with that verbiage right there is wrong, because excess water is what's left over after you've done all these things, after you've irrigated, after you've fed your stock, after you've done everything you can do with the water. Then you have excess water. So right in here, in the state engineer's own words, he's admitting that he doesn't really have a handle on excess water. And then we're going to turn this whole thing over to him and his staff, which they don't have enough people right now, and with my good friend here from Fremont County saying, let's get him out there. Let's get him out there real quick. And they don't have the staff to do it now to get out there. As you go through this bill, you can see over and over and over again, it's not a solution. It creates more problems. The best thing that we can do with this bill, as we look at it, is to get rid of it. And ask yourself, as you cast your vote on this bill, there's only a handful of us that have actually been out there in this chamber, been out there and seen these creeks, seen these washes. If you haven't been out there and you haven't stood on the ground and looked at the water, you'll be a lot like the governor from Montana years ago when she came down and went on a tour out there. She looks around and she goes, well, where's all this water that's creating the problem? It wasn't there. There's water there. There's definitely things that need to be done with it. But there's ranchers that are working with industry. A lot more of them that are identified in this bill are already working it out. They're already out there. This bill doesn't fit anything. And I'd hope you'd vote no on it and defeat it so we can go out there and figure out something that will work. This won't.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I rise to explain my vote and why I'm going to vote on it the way I am, not to urge anybody else to do the same. It does seem to me it is a state engineer's bill, and I think that's probably a good thing. The state engineer got people on the ground. They can move fast. I can tell you they can move fast. They understand. They're not afraid to make a decision. They get it wrong every now and then. They're human. But they're not afraid to make a decision. And they can solve a lot of problems. And I have some problems with the way some of the drafting in the bill. One of my rules is if I can't understand some of these things, I suspicion maybe some other people can't either. And there's some things in here I have great difficulty understanding. We talked about one of them earlier. And I think there is a need for some legislation to provide a better balance. I do have trouble getting my mind around the idea of excess water. Mr. President, my experience has been so much on the unexcess, lack of excess, shortage of water. That it is difficult to understand, but I suppose it can happen all right. And I understand the testimony is that it is happening. Where I come down is that I know there are some parties here on both sides who would rather fight than get along and work out something that's in everybody's mutual interest. And I can understand why that happens, how it happens. And neither side is fully to blame on this. Both sides are partly to blame when that's going on. But it's happening up there. And I am afraid, with the amendment that we talked about earlier, that we did give a veto in altogether too many circumstances. To one side, And I'm afraid that that veto is going to slow the coal bed methane development, which will hurt the country's energy resources, the state's revenue, and will cost some of my constituents their jobs. So that's the reason I'm going to vote no on the bill. I think that if next year we get a bill that is a little better worked out, a little better language, that doesn't develop that particular kind of feature, I will support it. But not this one, not today.
Senator Vasey.
Mr. President, rising neither for or against the bill, this is truly a quandary. We vote no that pushes those landowners that truly are distressed. The status quo remains for a year. But even some of them say this is not the best idea they've heard. I think when Mr. President got up to talk, he said something very important that we've missed an opportunity about the management of the water of this state, and not to denigrate the work of the task force, and they did have a couple attorneys on that task force, but the district I represent is right on the Continental Divide. Some of it goes into the Platte, some of it goes into the Colorado. And then in that mix is a closed basin. So I got to be very, very careful about how this use of water. But I do think if we would go back and look and keep what the president said, that we need to figure out how we manage this water. He's got neighbors to the north. I've got some thirsty neighbors to the south. And I do think that we missed an opportunity here, but we can go back and pick that up. Some of this task force came about because there was a study to look at what we did with this water. And I'm not so sure in the district I represent, they say they can reinject all this water. I'm not so sure they can. And I really think that we truly need to go back and look at something that manages Wyoming's water.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I, like many of you, I am in a bit of a quandary in regard to where we're at, but I don't have a lot of coal bed methane development in my district, but I do have some that is starting to appear on the northern border of my district, and I have some knowledge of that area, having flown over it and having been out there with ranchers and whatnot and driven it. But I think that as I look at the bill, you know, I looked about me to where the resources for information and people that can help me with the situation. And it's been previously said that this was a power grab by the state engineer. And I have to tell you, from my view, I don't see it that way. I see it an assignment of responsibility. And I see it on the part of the state engineer being an assumption of responsibility, an assumption of responsibility to help go out there and manage some of the problems that we're seeing. That's helpful to me, given my limited experience. I think there's opportunity for him to go out there with that assignment of responsibility and mitigate some of the problems that are occurring, perhaps in that process, in the time that we talk about, you know, putting this off and doing it next year. Perhaps he can come back with some data, come back with some objective information, and some review of some cases that are out there that would then be helpful to me in regard to me making further decisions, whether we amend this or tweak it or whatever term you want to use, if it is to pass. And then finally, I think he would come back with the idea of some sort of accurate, credible report by which, if there were further decisions to be made, I could have some information on that. So given that fact, that I think that, you know, sending someone out who has got the experience, the background, and whatnot to investigate this through the passage of this bill, providing for, like I said, an assumption or an assignment of responsibility by the engineer, is valuable to me. Someone who has a certain constituency in that, and I would urge your support of the bill.
Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, thank you. Shortly. Currently, there are about 10,000 wells in the Powder River Basin that have been drilled and completed. The money's been spent by the producers, drilled and completed. Most of them, or a good majority of them, waiting on a current water management plan. Those plans are out there. The work is being done with the state engineer's office and DEQ to develop those plans. Passage of this bill will increase those wells that are out there that have been drilled, completed, and are waiting. Some of these, many, many months. Some of them won't be drilled at all. I urge you to vote no.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I'd urge the body to vote aye on this bill. I think there's been a misimpression. I don't think it was intentional. But the fact is, yes, there are thousands and thousands of wells. And, Mr. President, you were exactly right. Most of the water is being put to beneficial use. Most of the ranchers want the water. They're managing the water and want more water. But there are those rare exceptions, and that's what the task force was first put together for, because the fact there was a problem out there, there are some ranchers, not many of them, some ranchers are being hurt. Some of our landowners, some of our constituents are being hurt by this. We needed to get a process to deal with this. When we first had this debate on the floor over Committee of the Whole, I mentioned this is a problem, frankly, we've never dealt with before. The idea of Wyoming having too much water, I remember back about 8-9 years ago, we were discussing what we were going to do with all the water, and the idea of the coal slurry pipeline came up again. And people just don't like the idea of shipping water out of state, and I don't blame them. So one of the members from the other house is no longer here suggested, well, let's put another pipeline next to it and ship the water back up, which sounded even sillier. And one of our local pundits at our local newspaper said, well, if you're going to do that while it's down there, have them throw seafood into it. So you got lobsters and langostinos pouring out of the top back at Gillette. I thought it was a great idea. But, Mr. President, seriously, this bill, like many of the bills we deal with, are going to deal with the exceptions. They're not going to deal. This is going to be dealing with the 1%, the one-half of 1%. This is not going to affect coal bed methane production in any discernible means whatsoever. In those cases where you have miles down the ephemeral draw or down the intermittent draw or down a regular drainage that already has water in it, and too much water for a particular area is coming in, this empowers the state engineer to come in and look at it, especially by the rancher being hurt. That's why I urge this body to vote aye on this bill, because we can't ask these people to wait another year. In many cases, their best meadows are getting ruined. And I was on the tour with the governor of Montana, and I've served on the task force. And I've been out on these ranches, and I've seen the way they've been hurt. And they really do need this bill.
Senate File 46, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Vecht?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
No.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
No.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Mockler?
No.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Vasey?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Schiffer?
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 15 ayes, 15 noes.
Senate File 46, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Wyoming Senate, Senate File 46 is indefinitely postponed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate be in recess until 2:15.
Motion is for the Senate to be in recess till 2:15. Announcements?
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will be meeting in S18 in 20 minutes to discuss House Bill 48, Engrossed State Land and Investment Board Loans.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet tomorrow, Tuesday, February 26th. 20 minutes after the lunch recess in S16, to consider the following bills: House Bill 54, Natural Gas Valuation; House Bill 91, Streamlined Sales and Use Tax; House Bill 33, Engrossed Veterans Property Tax Exemption.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in S19. We'll be taking up House Bill 8, Election Code Revisions; House Bill 9, Campaign Finance Reporting; House Bill 3, Campaign Finance Reporting Electronic Filings; and House Bill 109, Telecommunications Switched Access. Promises to be a big agenda, Mr. President.
Big agenda. Further announcements? The motion is that the Senate be adjourned until 2:15. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The Senate